You know, this morning I want to just carry on with the series of teaching we've been doing on the reality of redemption. You know, we are now on number 5, I believe it is, and we've looked at the resurrection and what that secured for us. We've seen that we've been bought with a price. We've been redeemed from the curse. We saw the blood covenant and the function that had, particularly in the Old Testament, and Jesus fulfilled that in the New. But I want to go to a scripture that we've been taking as our text verse for this series of teaching, which is found in the book of Galatians in chapter 3. We've been reading from verses 13 and 14. We've really only covered the fact that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And that's really all we've looked at in our series on the reality of redemption so far. But verse 14 goes on, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we've seen Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know, we've seen that we've been redeemed, that we've been bought with a price. You know, that word redeemed literally means to buy back or to ransom or to pay the price in order to liberate or deliver something or somebody. And we've likened it all the way through our teaching on this to the, we don't use the terminology so much nowadays, redemption centres, but you'll understand the pawn broker, where you take something and you sell it to him and for a price, and then at some stage in the future you go back and you redeem that piece of whatever it is, jewellery or whatever it is you've sold. You redeem it, you buy it back. They have similar things today, but not quite the same, where, you know, we can take your goods in and they buy them off you. They sell them on to other people, or I think you could go back at some stage and redeem it. But, you know, also we've likened it to the ransom that's demanded when there's been a kidnap or a hostage situation. You know, those that Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, the blessing of Abraham. Now in that verse there, in verse 14, it uses this terminology. It says, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. The Gentiles in Christ Jesus are every born again child of God. You know, the Bible talks about the Jews and the Gentiles. Now the Jews, it was God's chosen people. The Gentiles was everybody else. You know, Paul, that great apostle to the Gentile people, you know, he writes these words to his church in Galatia, and he says, Christ has redeemed us so that the blessing, or what would belong to the Jews, could come upon the Gentiles who come in through Christ Jesus. The promise to that came to the Jews through Abraham can come upon the Gentiles, or those that are outside of the Jewish race, those that are in Christ Jesus. And every born again child of God falls into that category, a Gentile in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, the scripture goes on and teaches us this in the same chapter in verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and you're an heir of the blessing, or an heir according to the promise that God made to his servant Abraham. You know, interesting to read in this chapter, and we have touched on it before. Verse 16, it says this, it says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. I believe it was last week, that we touched on this. We said that, you know, God made this covenant with Abraham And that covenant with Abraham was to the seed of Abraham, to Abraham and his seed. Now, this verse tells us that the seed of Abraham is Christ Jesus. You know, when God cut that covenant with Abraham, yes, he was cutting it with a man, but he was also cutting it with Jesus, his son. You know, the purpose for God having covenant with Abraham was really, the only real purpose for it was so that he could have someone in the earth that would agree with him, would come into covenant with him in order that Jesus could come. He had to get Jesus into the earth so that Jesus could come and save us. He could die for us. He could pay redemption's price. You know, God just couldn't step into the earth and do it. He handed the earth over to man back in the garden. When he created Adam and Eve, he turned everything over to Adam. He said, you have dominion, you have the authority, you subdue the land, you tend it, it's your land, you keep it. And in order for God to come to earth, he had to get an agreement with man. He had to get man to come into agreement with him, and that's the purpose of the covenant with Abraham. Really, purpose, so he could get Jesus into the earth. And so Jesus could come and die. You know, if Jesus had just stepped in as God and came down and so went to the cross and or did whatever he had to do, the enemy would have a lever against him. Say, well, God, you did that as God in your deity. But Jesus had to become as a man, and he had to, you know, come into the earth legally. He couldn't just step in illegally. You think, well, but he created it. Yeah, he created it, but he turned it over to man. So he had to get man's agreement, for want of a better word. So the seed of Abraham is Christ, and God was making this covenant with Christ, and the covenant was this, that in you every nation of the earth would be blessed. Now, he spoke it to Abraham. You know, we take it down, we call it the blessing of Abraham, that God wants to bless every nation of the earth. But he was speaking to Christ as well, to Jesus. He was saying that in you, Jesus, every nation of the earth will be blessed. You know, this blessing was made to Christ and his seed. And we are the seed of Christ. We're the children of God. We're those that are born of his Spirit. They're washed in his blood. Hallelujah. And Christ has redeemed us, as we've already seen, so that this blessing could come upon you and me. So perhaps we could spend some time this morning just looking at, I'm not going to go much else other than the book of Genesis this morning, because I want to demonstrate. This is where God first reveals himself to Abraham, what he's known as Abram then. And in Genesis 12 verse 1 it says this, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families, or the nations of the earth, shall be blessed. I don't know whether you've ever viewed it and looked at it quite like this, but the first thing God said to Abraham when he appeared to him, and he, so we have this, what he says, he says, I'm going to make you a great nation and bless you and make your name great and you'll be a blessing. And I'm going to bless those. The first thing he said, he told Abraham to get out of his country, away from his family and from his father's house, and to go to a land that he would show him. The preface to the blessing was obedience. God had to find a man that would be obedient to him. In order for Abraham to be a partaker of this blessing that God wanted to do and make him a great nation and bless it, he had to be obedient. He had to leave his home. He had to be obedient to God. And we saw that, and we touched on it last week, and the pastor preached on it the week before that, before he went away. that in Deuteronomy 28, talking about the blessings that would come upon you, Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says, if you are obedient, you hearken diligently to the voice of your God, you know, and you observe all that He's commanded you. Now, if you're obedient to God's commands, God's law, then, He says, all these blessings will come upon you. You know, and the preface to blessing, even today, the preface to blessing is obedience. If we want God's blessing on us, we've got to be obedient to Him. We've got to do what He's telling us to do. You know, and Abraham had to be obedient to God. He had to come out of his land where he was living, Ur of the Chaldees. He had to come out of that place, and that place where he lived was, we could put it like this, he came out of Babylon, because that's where it was. You know, we studied Babylon quite a bit at the beginning of the year when we were looking, coming to the end of our studies on the book of Revelation. You know, out of Babylon, out of that system which was being, was controlling the world, he had to follow God. He had to be obedient to God. He had to do what God said, not what his family said, not what his father instructed in him. Now, there would have been all sorts of things going on in his house. You know, they weren't worshippers of God. You know, they had many gods. They came under the Babylonian system of religion and commerce. You know, the Babylonian system was a multi-deity religion, multi-god religion. They worshipped the sun, they worshipped the moon, they worshipped other things. And God said to Abraham, the first thing He says, look, He says, first of all, He says, if you're going to have anything or get anything from it, He says, you've got to be obedient to me. You've got to come out of that system that you're in. And if we're going to receive anything from God, we've got to be obedient and come out of, first we've got to come out of our sin before we can taste the blessing of God, before we know what it is to be redeemed. That's what we're talking about, the reality of redemption. Before we can have our sins forgiven and we can enter into the blessings that redemption has for us. We've got to be obedient and come out of that system whereby God isn't our source and supply. Where God isn't our Lord and Savior. We've got to come out of that and put Him first. Seek Him. Follow God. That was the instruction to Abraham. He says, come out and follow me. Follow me. I'm going to show you where you need to go. So you leave your country, you leave your family, you come out of your father's house, and says, I'm going to show you where you've got to be. Just all you've got to do is follow me. Trust me, follow me, and be obedient to what I tell you. And that's the preface to any blessing from God, that we are obedient to what He says. We receive the blessing today by faith in Christ Jesus. You know, Abraham received it just by his obedience to God. Because he was prepared to trust God. But in the New Testament, because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, what we've remembered this morning, you know, we receive all the blessing. We receive the benefits of redemption by faith in Him. By faith in Christ Jesus. And we need to stop relying on the other systems. The world system. We've got to start trusting God. You know, we finished last week looking at, when we were looking at the curse, and although we didn't spend a lot of time talking about it, we did just touch on it last week, that Balak hired Balaam to come and curse God's people. See, what happened is as they were coming up out of Egypt, God's people moved into a land, or they moved next to where Balak was king, responsible. This was a mighty army. You can read the story in Numbers 23, something around there. It says they came, they camped on the plains of Moab, adjacent to Jericho, across the Jordan from Jericho. You know, and the Moabites, with Balak as the king, they looked out and they saw this army oh, there's people coming up. And I think, whoa, something's going on. I'm going to have to attack these people and go. But what he said, well, he knew there was a man, his name was Balaam. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll send for Balaam, he can come, because I know whatever he blesses is blessed, and whatever he curses is cursed. I'll hire him, I'll call for him, he'll come, he'll curse the people for me, and I'll have victory over them. Well, that's, you know, after, to put it down into a small nutshell, you know, eventually Balaam gave in to his demands, and he went, and he opened his mouth to curse God's people, and every time he opened his mouth, instead of the curse coming out, the blessing came out. And we said last week that God turned the curse into the blessing. But it says in Numbers 23, verse 19, I don't know whether you're familiar with this scripture, but it says this. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and he will not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Now that, the context of where that scripture comes from, if you read through Numbers 23, it's talking about the blessing. God is not a man that he should lie. Now when God blesses, or when God says something to do about the blessing, he means what he says. Says, has he spoken, has he said it, and he will not perform it, he will not do it? Has he spoken it, and he will not make it good? You know, God turned the curse into the blessing, and God's still doing the same thing today. You know, when we come out of sin, we come out of the old system, we come out of the old ways, you know, God prepares us for the blessing, and we've been redeemed from the curse. Remember, he said last time that, you know, we are made as though we're justified, as though we've never sinned, and if we've been made as though we've never sinned, or we've been justified, is the word the scripture uses. If we've never sinned, or that's the way God looks upon us, then we're not looked upon as lawbreakers. And if we're not lawbreakers, then there can be no curse, because the curse was only for lawbreakers, if you remember last week, when we touched on that. But in Genesis 12, let's carry on with what we're reading here in the life of Abraham. God said him to be obedient, to come out of his culture, to come out of his family, and go to the land that he would show. He says, now I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you and make your name great. I will bless you, God said. You do what I command you, I will bless. Now the word bless there really means, if you take it right down to its root, means to be empowered or enabled to prosper in all things. Or anointed to succeed is another way of using that word bless. You know, we use the word all the time. Really, we just use it like a phrase. You know, if someone sneezes, we say bless you. But the word bless, and when we read the word bless or blessing in the scriptures, we've got to understand that it's an anointing or an empowerment to succeed and prosper and do well. You know, that's what God wants for us. He wants to bless us. Now, we also use the word blessing as some sort of little thrill that we get when we come into a service. Oh, that was good, and I've got a blessing today. Now, that's not what a blessing is. You know, a blessing is an anointing to succeed and prosper and do well. You know, in the Amplified translation of that verse, it says this. It says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors, and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing dispensing good to others. Something we do need to know about the blessing of Abraham, and we use this terminology quite frequently. The blessing of Abraham, or we read it, and we've read it in that scripture in Galatians 3, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham, now the blessing of Abraham, unless, let me make it clear this morning, is not a spiritual blessing. A lot of people say this, well, that's God's, that's a spiritual thing. It's not a spiritual blessing because Abraham, a saved man, he was obedient to God, but he was not saved because Jesus hadn't died and paid the price for salvation. So he couldn't be saved until Jesus died, as everybody else in the Old Testament. So he was not a saved man, so it cannot be a spiritual blessing. It cannot be something that comes through Christ Jesus, because Ephesians tells us, Ephesians 1:3, that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. We're not blessed with every spiritual blessing in Abraham. It's in Christ. The blessing of Abraham is not a spiritual blessing. It is a tangible, material blessing. It's something that can be handled, something that can be tasted and felt and seen. Spiritual blessing comes through Jesus, but material blessing comes through Abraham. Notice also it says it's the blessing, not blessings. It's not plural. Deuteronomy 28, again we touched on it last week, it lists the blessings that would come upon God's people if they were obedient. And that came as a result of the blessing. Most people seek blessings, and we should be seeking the blessing. We're seeking what we can get out of it, not what will enable us to succeed. The Bible says this in Proverbs 10:22. It says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich." The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Not the blessings of the Lord. Most people think it's blessings that make them rich and do them good. And they're looking for the God to, well, God provide this need, God do this. What it says will make us rich is the blessing. And that's not just rich in material things, but that's rich in every area of our life. Rich in health. Rich in our relationships. Rich in the things that we do from day to day. And that's really what Jesus preached. That was the gospel message that he came preaching. Because he's, in John 10:10 we get these words. Jesus came and he says, "I've come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly." Abundant life. Life that's blessed. A life that's rich and full. A life that is overflowing. It's the blessing that makes rich. And that's what we're looking at this morning, the blessing of Abraham. You know, this blessing of Abraham is an empowerment for total life, well-being or prosperity. It does promotion, it promotes, it honors and elevates. We can see that in verse 2. It says, "I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to do this." Deuteronomy 28 says this, that these blessings will come upon you and overtake you, you know, and they will lift you up. In Deuteronomy 28, 13, it says that you'll be the head, not the tail. You know, there's promotion and elevation because of the blessing. In Genesis 13, we read that the blessing brings possession or ownership. You know, God told Abraham to look at the land, as far as I can see, he says, "All this land I'm going to give you." And then in Genesis 14, we see that the blessing gives dominion and power. Dominion and authority. You know what we have in Genesis 14 is an account where Lot and his family are taken captive, they're attacked, and they're taken away, and Abram goes after them. And he delivers them, gets them back, gets back all the goods, he gets back all the people. You know, there's dominion, there's authority and power as a result of the blessing. But the purpose of the blessing is not so that we can store up, relax and enjoy life, as Jesus taught in that parable where he says that this man built a barn and he says, "Oh, I've made it now, I've done it well, I'm going to sit back, put my feet up and rest and enjoy life. That's not the purpose of the blessing. The blessing comes upon us not so that we can live like that, so we can store it up, we can save it, we can say, well, I've made it, I'm a self-made man now. We're blessed. And this is what God said to Abraham in verse 2. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. The purpose of the blessing is so that we can be a blessing, so that we can be a distribution center. In that scripture in the Amplified, we dispense to those in need. A dispenser of the blessing. Now we, again, as we've touched on many times over this series of teaching, Abraham was in covenant with God. You know, we saw the blood covenant, we saw what it meant, that everything God had, because now Abraham was now entitled to, because he entered into covenant with him. You know, God had promised the blessing on him, and that he would be a blessing. In chapter 14, Genesis 14, verse 22, we have these great words from Abraham. He said, Abraham said to the king of Sodom, he says, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. You know, that's that terminology there. I have raised my hand. That he's entered into blood covenant with God Most High. I'm in covenant with God Most High. He says, no, I'm not going to take nothing from you. I'm not going to take a thread to a sandal strap or anything that is yours. In case you say that I have made Abraham rich. He says, all I want people to know is that God has blessed me. That the blessing of God is upon my life. And Abraham was blessed in all things. All his life he was blessed. There's a scripture there in Genesis 24, verse 1. Where it says, now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. If you go into the next chapter, chapter 25, we look at verse 8, and there's a lovely verse here. It says, then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Abraham died enjoying a long life. He lived 175 years. And the scripture says, he breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man. The Bible says this phrase here, and full of years. Now those words, two words there, of years, you'll see if you're looking at a script Bible there, they're in italics. That means they were not in the original language. Just been added at the discretion of the translators to give us an understanding of the verse. So what, before they added those words, it read this, that he died in a good old age, an old man and full. Contented, satisfied, sufficient, he had enough, he had more than he needed. The word full then is satisfied to the point, if you actually look at some of the literal translations of that scripture, Young's Literal Translation puts it like this, he says, Abraham expired and died in a good old age, aged and satisfied, and is gathered unto his people. The Amplified says, then Abraham's spirit was released, and he died at a good, ample, full old age, an old man satisfied and satiated, and was gathered to his people. God blessed Abraham all his life. Even in death he was blessed. You know, but that blessing perpetuated down the generations. It went through to Isaac. The blessing of Abraham came upon Abraham's son Isaac. In chapter 26, again we haven't got time this morning to read all the whole chapter, but in chapter 26 it says there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt, but live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. He said, I'm going to make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven, and I'll give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. See, that's exactly what he's saying, is what he said to Abraham. You know, that he's going to bless all the nations of the earth because of him. And he said, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my laws. You know, so God confirms the blessing with Isaac. Then if we read on in verse 12, he says, Isaac sowed in that land. He stayed where he was. He sowed in the land during famine in the same year. And he reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants became very rich and very prosperous and very mighty. The people around saw what God was doing with him. The blessing was upon him. Go down to verse 24. It says, the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and his servants dug a well. So then Abimelech came to him from Gerar, and one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army, and Isaac said to them, why have you come to me since you hate me and have sent me away from you? But they said, we've certainly seen that the Lord is with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you. See, all the people around saw that God was with Isaac, that the blessing was upon him. And Isaac had this testimony. It says in verse 29, it says, you will do us no harm since we've not touched you, since we've done nothing to you, but in good have sent you away in peace. It says, now you are the blessed of the Lord. We can see that you're blessed, that the blessing is upon you. So that went on to Isaac. The blessing passed on to Jacob, Isaac's son, in Genesis 28. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly or a multitude of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham. You and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. See, the blessing passed on. The blessing of Abraham passed on to Isaac. It passed on to Jacob. And what you see is, when the blessing is on you, it works wherever you are. You know, it's what we call blessing by association. You know, when the blessing's on you, wherever you go, people get blessed. Because that's what you're meant to be. You're meant to be a blessing to other people. Laban. Isaac went to work, Jacob went to work for Laban, his father-in-law. You find Laban was blessed because the blessing was on Jacob. In chapter 30, verse 30, Laban says, or Jacob says to Laban, he says, look, he says, you know that what you had before I came was little, and that it's increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. Then again in verse 43. You see this in Genesis 30 verse 43. It says, the man, talking about Laban, and Jacob, sorry. The man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. You know, God was blessing Jacob. The blessing of Abraham was upon him. And Jacob acknowledged that in the next chapter, in chapter 31, verse 5. He says, look, he says, the God of my father has been with me. The Lord is with me. The blessing is upon me. The blessing passed on to Joseph. Nearly through. The blessing passed on to Joseph in Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3, says the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. Verse 5 tells us what actually is upon him. So yeah, it says God was with him, but in verse 5 it says this. It says the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had. See, the blessing perpetuated down through generations. It went from Abraham, it went to Isaac, it went to Jacob, it went to Joseph. And you find the blessing working in unpleasant situations. However tough it got, however hard it got, the blessing was working for God's people. In verses 21 to 23 it says, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So you know what happened to Joseph. I don't want to go into Joseph's life too much, but he was sold into Egypt just by his brothers. He went to work as a slave for Potiphar. Potiphar's wife was with him. The blessing was upon him. And he found favour. It says, and the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Now just one more verse to finish with this morning. You know, we see that that blessing just perpetuated down through generation to generation. And that's how it was meant to be. You know, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, so that the blessing might come upon us. You know, we are the seed of Christ, the seed of Abraham. And the purpose that the blessing comes upon us is not so that we can say, as I've said already, we've got all that we need, we're rich, we're wealthy, we're blessed. It's so that we can be a blessing. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 to 11. I just want to finish with this verse. It says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Because it's written, he has dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law so that the blessing might come upon us, so that we might be a blessing. God is able to make all grace. Now get away from thinking that grace is some holy feeling or something. That grace literally means favour and love. God's love and favour. Or God is able to make his favour or his blessing come upon us in abundance, or abound toward you, so that we will have everything that we need, have sufficiency in all things, and extra for every good work, or to give away, or to be a blessing. The Amplified puts it like this, and God is able to make all grace, every favour and earthly blessing, come to you in abundance, so that you may always, and under all circumstances, and in whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. The blessing of Abraham. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Now Christ has redeemed us so that we can be blessed. Not so that we can say we've got it, but so that we can be a blessing. That's all God ever wants us to be a blessing to someone else. To take his word to somebody else. Now to testify to somebody else. To bring somebody else into the family. That is God's purpose for us. To be a blessing to others. Never to bless ourselves. God will bless us so we can bless them. So we can help them. So we can encourage one another. You know, that's what the purpose. Christ has redeemed us from the curse for that very reason. Now, next time we're going to start breaking down the blessing, because we said before that the blessing is threefold, or the curse is threefold. Sorry, the curse is death, sickness, and poverty. You know, and the blessing is to counteract that. So we're going to look at each one of those in turn over the next next month. Amen. It's good to know we've been redeemed. You know, this redemption isn't something, not just the forgiveness of our sins, it's a total life experience. You know, God wants us to enjoy, have life and enjoy it. So let's just pray and give thanks to God this morning.